You know, I mentioned in the announcements that Brother Darrell has set up a visit to the jail later on in the month. This morning, I want to start my sermon by saying I wish I could take all of you to jail as well. I wish that we could go, in fact, to probably the worst part of the penal system, probably the most dreaded part of the penal system. I wish this morning we could go to death row. I wish we could go to that part of the prison that houses those folks that, because of their crimes, face an execution. Because if we could go in and talk with them, I'm sure that every one of them there could tell us why they are there. They know the crime that they've committed. They know that they've been to court. They know the evidence has been presented. They know the jury has pronounced them guilty. They know the judge has condemned them to death. And they know that death is coming. Now, they may use the legal system to try to put it off and try to delay it, but they know that they have been condemned. But the sad fact is that there's some people here this morning, you are sitting on death row and you don't know it. You don't know that you've been to trial. You don't know that the evidence has been presented. You don't know that you've already been pronounced guilty, and you don't know, you don't realize, you don't understand that you have been judged and your judgment is death. And this morning, for those of you in that condition, I would like to reach out and just grab you and shake you a little bit. I would like to get close to you and help you to understand that even though you sit on the pew, you are really sitting on death row under the penalty of death. Now, if we went to death row, in fact, I did a little research. You know, there's a 14-year-old boy down in Texas that's awaiting execution for a multiple murder that he committed. The oldest person that I researched this week that's still alive on death row is 95. He's in a prison out west somewhere. And of course, there are many, many people in between that 14-year-old and that 95. You see, there are young people on death row, there are old people on death row, and there are people in between. And the same is true today. There are people here today that don't know it, young, in the middle, and old, and you're sitting on death row, and you have been condemned already, and you don't know it. You say, "Preacher, why am I condemned?" The Bible tells us, because of sin. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And so, again, you may not understand this completely yet. You may not know that you're under this penalty, but I want to be very truthful with you this morning. If you are a sinner, say, "Preacher, you don't even know me. How can you say that?" I can say it because that's what that book says. And our God knows every person, and our God knows that we're all sinners. We read that verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, I was talking to somebody this week, and they were starting to tell me what all the things that was going on in their health wise and the sad shape that they were in. And they ended their litany of different things by saying this, but I know many, many people have it worse than I do. Many, many people have it worse than I do. You see, we can compare ourselves to other people, and we can always find somebody that's a worse sinner than we are. Somebody that's done worse things that we have done, that makes them, in our eyes, a worse sinner. But the Bible says we're not to compare ourselves to other people. We're to compare ourselves to the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you compare yourself to the glory of God, you have to raise your hand and say, "Put me in that class. I am a sinner. Because compared to Jesus, I fall far short." So what condemns us? Our sin. I mean, why are we condemned? Because of our sin. What condemns us? There's three things this morning that condemn us to that penalty. First of all, our conscience condemns us. In Romans chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And then in verse 15 it says, their conscience also bearing witness against them. Their conscience also bearing witness against them. Let me ask you this morning, what causes a little child to be afraid of mom and dad when they've done something wrong? What causes them to run and hide when they've done something wrong? I mean, it's their conscience. It's that part that God has built into every one of us that knows that there's a right and knows that there's a wrong and knows that whoever is the authority, they are justified in giving us punishment for when we do wrong. What causes someone who's never been to church, never read the Bible, never acknowledged that even that there is a God, to know that there's a right and a wrong, and wrong needs to be punished? Again, it's that part that God has built into every one of us, our conscience. A conscience that in every man and every person says, there is a right and there is a wrong, and wrong needs to be punished. The Bible says, those that don't have the law, they still sin without the law, but their conscience bears witness to them that they've sinned. And so this morning, what condemns us? First of all, our conscience does. That part of us that God has, again, put in every single one of us that makes us know that there's a right and that there's a wrong, and wrong needs to be punished. But the Bible also says in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Our conscience condemns us, so does the law, so does the Bible. In John chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus was talking to the Jews. He was talking to God's people who had a law, who had a law from God. And he says this, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you. You're God's people. You have the law. The law will condemn you. Now listen, you may be here this morning, you may have never opened a Bible. You may have never read in this book the law of God. But I would dare say that every person here, one way or another, have heard of the Ten Commandments. And you know the Ten Commandments were given by God. Not only this morning does our conscience condemn us, but the Ten Commandments condemn us. You may not know them. You may not be able to recite. Even those of us that are Christians for a long time may not be able to recall all 10 of them. But let me quickly take you through the Ten Commandments and let's judge ourselves against the law that God has given us. The first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants to be your only God. He wants all of your worship. He wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I ask you this morning, as we measure ourselves against the law, does He have first place in your life? Is He your God? If not, you stand guilty. Guilty. The second one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now, there's probably nobody here that has idols in their home that you bow down to, but are there other things that you bow down to? Are there other things that you've made the first priority in your life and you worship them, like wealth or fame or pleasure? If so, we stand guilty, condemned by the law. The third one is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Profanity is a widespread thing today. The Bible says, don't swear at all. Don't swear at all. And you don't have to use four-letter words to be guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. When we use it carelessly, when we treat it lightly, we have taken it in vain. And we stand guilty before the law. The fourth one is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I know I'm preaching to the church crowd. I know that you are here in church this morning on the day that we recognize as the Sabbath in our time. Of course, the Sabbath in Jews' time was Saturday. But we worship on Sunday because of the resurrection of our Lord on Sunday. God says, remember one day a week. You can have the other six to do anything you want. But one day a week, I don't want you to do anything. I was talking to my mom this week, and she reminded me of my grandmother. My grandmother was the kind of person that you didn't go out on Sunday. I mean, it took us a long time to get her to ride in a car to church on Sunday. She didn't think she should do anything. And if you mentioned going to the store on Sunday, she would get her yardstick out and said, over my dead body, you're not going. And again, you know, I think there was something to that. I mean, we spent time as a family on Sunday. We didn't go to ball games. We didn't go to the beach. We didn't play golf. We didn't go on picnics. I mean, we went over to grandma's house and we spent time there. And God says, you can have the other 6 days to do what you want. The seventh day, or Sunday, the first day in our case, I want it devoted to me. I want you to be thinking about me. I want you to put me first on that day. And if we don't, we're guilty under the law. The fifth one is honor thy father and thy mother. And if I was going to pick one outstanding sin today, it would be this one. We don't honor our parents the way that we should. And let me just say that this commandment is not just to little kids. There's not an age limit on this fifth commandment. It is an ageless commandment. And the honor that we owe our parents is just applies to me who am 60 years old this morning as it does to little Lydia back there who is 2. And we need to honor our parents. I like the song the kids sang this morning. If I delay, I don't obey. I'm going to obey right away. And obedience is one of the ways that we honor our parents. But let me ask you, when was the last time you told your mom and dad you loved them? When was the last time you thanked them for being your mom and dad? And for doing the things that they did for you as a child. That's part of honor. And we need to take the opportunities that God gives us. If your mom and dad is still alive, you need to take an opportunity. If you haven't done it lately, you need to tell them that you love them. You need to tell them thank you for the sacrifices that they made for you. That's part of honor. And if we're not honoring our parents, we stand guilty according to the law. The sixth one is, thou shalt not kill. And our hands may have never shed blood. But 1 John says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And if we hate another, we stand guilty under the law. The seventh one is, thou shalt not commit adultery. I pray that most of us here this morning are physically pure. But Jesus said, an unholy look, is adultery in God's sight, and we stand guilty under the law. The eighth one is, thou shalt not steal. And we may never have robbed a bank or embezzled money from a company, but how about our time? When we go to, Brother Darwin has been helping Brother Terry do some painting, and he was telling me about all his exploits about mixing the different kinds of paints, you know, enamel and flat. And Brother Terry is painting the ceiling, and he's painting it flat, and he looked up there, and there's a shiny spot. What in the world is that shiny spot? Well, Brother Darwin was painting the enamel along the trim, and he was dipping from both buckets. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Dipping from both buckets. And some of that enamel got mixed in with the flat paint. There was a shiny paint on the ceiling. Now, that's stealing, Brother Darwin. Stealing. I'm just teasing you. But listen. Thou shalt not steal. I gotta hurry on. Thou shalt not steal. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Ever lied? Ever told an untruth? The Bible says the wicked go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. We don't have to teach our children to lie. It comes naturally. We have to teach them to tell the truth. We stand guilty according to the law. Number 10, thou shalt not covet. Do you ever want something that wasn't yours? Do you ever desire something that somebody else had? Stand guilty under the law. Now, I may be harsh in my judgment this morning. Maybe there's some of the commandments that you've never, ever broken. Maybe the only one that you've had a problem with is number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. But I have bad news for you this morning. In the book of James, chapter 2, the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I could keep 9 of the 10 commandments. I could break just one. Maybe it's I didn't honor my parents. Maybe I told a lie. But in God's sight, I am just as guilty as I've broken all 10 of them. I am condemned not only by my conscience, I am condemned by the law. And then thirdly, I am condemned by the words of Jesus. He said in John chapter 12, verse 48, the one that loves us so much, the one who went to the cross to die for our sins, said in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. We've ignored the words of Jesus Christ. We've ignored the words that he taught while he was here on this earth. We've ignored the word that he put into print in this book. And he says, not only will your conscience judge you, not only will this law judge you, my words will judge you. So you say this morning, well, what do I do? You've convinced me, preacher, I'm on death row. I am condemned. I am under the judgment of death. What do I do? Well, you do the same thing that those on death row do. You get you a good lawyer. I happen to know one. I'm going to call him this morning on your behalf. His number is Jeremiah 333. Let me get him on the phone and talk to him about us. Jeremiah 333. Hello, is this the advocate? Oh, good. I'm calling on behalf of a group of people here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and we're wondering if you will represent us. We hear that you're a good lawyer. We hear that you've never lost a case, and there are several folks that are condemned, and they face death, and we're wondering if you would take their case. In fact, we were wondering if maybe that you could go to the judge and seek a pardon for us. And a pardon is where the authority just releases you from the penalty of sin. Doesn't matter if you're guilty or not, you're just released from the penalty of sin. And so we were wondering if you could go to the judge and seek a pardon for those of us that need one. Oh, you don't do pardons. Oh, okay. Well then, if you don't do pardons, I was wondering if we could retain you to do a plea bargain for us. We're under the condemnation of death, but I was wondering if we could retain you to go to the judge and see if you could bargain the plea and change our death penalty to life sentence. Oh, you don't do plea bargains either. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I guess you can't help us. Sorry to bother you. If you don't do pardons and you don't do plea bargains, I don't know what else that you could do for us. Oh, what's that? Well, how will you do that? Oh, well, how much will it cost? Oh, well, what do we have to do? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. Thank you, sir. I'll be sure to pass it along. The advocate said that he would take our case. He said he wouldn't work for a pardon. He's got something better. He said he wouldn't work for a plea bargain. He's got something better. He said that he would go to the judge and get the judge to remove our guilt. He said that he would go to the judge and get the judge to wipe our record clean. He said he would, on our behalf, go to the judge and have the judge declare that we have never sinned. I asked him, how do you do that? How would you do that? We are sinners. We're condemned not only by our conscience, but by the law and by the words of our Savior. How would you do that? And the advocate said this. He said, I myself will pay the price that you owe for sin. I myself will pay the sin debt that you owe. I said, well, how much does it cost? How much will it cost us? And he says, nothing. 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 All you have to do is believe that I can and that I will. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already, but he that believeth on him is not condemned. Let me introduce you to our advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. By the way, he has an inside tract with the judge, because you see, he is the judge's son. Our conscience condemns us. The law condemns us. The words of Jesus condemn us. And we are guilty. But Jesus said, I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price that you owe. What do we have to do? Simply believe that he will. Simply trust that he will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here this morning, and maybe you didn't realize you were on death row, but if you're still accountable for your sins, you are. Your case has been taken to court. The evidence has been presented. The jury and the judge have found you guilty. And your punishment is death. Would you come to the advocate this morning? Would you let him take your case? Would you let him go to the judge, his father, on your behalf, and get the father and the judge to take all your guilt away, to wipe it off your record, to make you as if you've never sinned? He'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. He's already done it for many, many people in this room. If you're here this morning and you're saved, I want you to leave in this place rejoicing that you have a Savior who died to pay the price of your sin. I want you walking out of here this morning with thanksgiving on your lips and in your heart, thanking your Savior for paying the price for your sin. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, in just a second, we're going to sing a song. During that song, first verse of that song, first word, I'd like you to get up out of your aisle, come down front, and we'll take this book, and somebody from this book will show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you've never done it, that's what I want you to do this morning, right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that tells us that we're all sinners, and because of that sin, we're under the condemnation of death. But thank you for the good news of this book that tells us about somebody that loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, he died for us to pay the price for our sin. And I pray if there's only one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that they would come during this time of invitation. We could show them from this book how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to us as Christians. If there's something else that we need to do this morning, maybe it's get baptized, maybe it's join the church. Help us to be, just like the little kids sang this morning, to be obedient, to not delay, to do it right now.
And so I pray, Father, that you just bless this time of invitation. Use it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.